translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested Himself in five as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Please repeat. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested Himself in five as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the... No, sorry, this is the purport. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the immediate expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as His brother. He is the personified spiritual bliss of Satchit Ananda Vigraha. His body is transcendental and full of ecstasy and devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore called Bhakta Rupa, the form of a devotee, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu is called Bhakta Swarup, the expansion of a devotee. Sri Advaita Prabhu, the incarnation of a devotee, is Vishnu Tattva and belongs to the same category. There are also different types of bhaktas or devotees on the platforms of neutrality, servitude, friendship, paternity, and conjugal love. Devotees like Sri Damodar, Sri Gadadhar, and Sri Ramananda are different energies. This confirms the Vedic Sutra, Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. All these bhakta subjects taken together constitute Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna Himself. So I chose this particular text, which is text number 6 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila chapter 7, which is compiled by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Because, of course, we're all celebrating Lord Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day, but actually he appeared in the Western country, carried in the heart of Srila Prabhupada, when he went finally to New York after spending some days in Butler, Pennsylvania, and he started to teach those who were willing to listen, first of all the Maha Mantra, but also the Panchatattva Mantra. And of course we all know that this Panchatattva Mantra has to be repeated before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I also have to say that the first time I heard that name Nityananda was when one devotee taught me how to say Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And of course, the Panchatattva, their appearance in Kali Yuga was predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, text 32, where it says, Krishna Varnang Tvishak Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtanam Prayer Yajantihi Sameda Saham. In the age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by His associates, by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by His plenary expansion, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, His incarnation, Sri Advaita Prabhu, His internal potency, Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, and His marginal potency, Sri Vas Prabhu. He is in the midst of them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by these other tattvas. Therefore, our obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are complete when we say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. As preachers of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we first offer our obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting this Panchatattva Mantra. Then we say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but these are not considered in the chanting of the Panchatattva Mantra, namely, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Maha Badanaya Avatar, the most magnanimous incarnation, for he does not consider the offenses of the fallen souls. Thus, to derive the full benefit of the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learn the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and then chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That will be very effective. But taking advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are many unscrupulous devotees who manufacture a Maha Mantra of their own. Sometimes they sing Bhajai Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham Hare Krishna Hare Ram, or Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna Hare Ram Sri Radhe Govinda. Actually, however, one should chant the names of the full Panchatattva, namely Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktavinoda. And then the 16 words, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. But these unscrupulous, less intelligent men confuse the entire process. Of course, since they are also devotees, they can express their feelings in that way. But the method prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure devotees is to chant first the full Panchatattva mantra and then chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So you can understand that Prabhupada is emphasizing the significance of the Pancha Tattva Maha Mantra as actually being more merciful, because we're repeating the names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaita Prabhu, Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, and Sri Vas Prabhu. So, as Prabhupada mentions also, sometimes there's unscrupulous people who come up with their own Maha Mantra. But in the same Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila chapter 8, text number 22, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, whether he is offensive or inoffensive, anyone even now who chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda is immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy and tears fill his eyes. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the Prakriti Sahajyas who chant Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam have very little knowledge of the Bhagavad conclusion, and they hardly follow the Vaishnava rules and regulations. And yet, because they chant Bhajo Nitai Gaur, their chanting immediately invokes tears and other signs of ecstasy. Although they do not know the principles of Vaishnava philosophy, are not very advanced in education, by these symptoms they attract many men to become their followers. Their ecstatic tears will, of course, help them in the long run, for as soon as they come in contact with a pure devotee, their lives will become successful. Even in the beginning, however, because they are chanting the holy names of Nitai Gaur, their swift advancement on the path of love of Godhead is very prominently visible. Which is quite surprising, because generally speaking, we condemn those persons who concoct mantras and don't chant Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare. But in the next text, Krishnadas Kaviraj goes even further and he says, simply by talking of Nityananda Prabhu, one awakens his love for Krishna. Thus all his bodily limbs are agitated by ecstasy, and tears flow from his eyes like the waters of the Ganges. Simply by talking of Nityananda Prabhu. So if you don't see any tears welling up in my eyes, because today, of course, we're mentioning Lord Nityananda Prabhu's name constantly, then I'm just obviously a scoundrel, a rascal. I wanted to tell a little story about how even Srila Prabhupada showed his mercy to those Prakriti Sahajyas. Would you like to hear that story? Okay. Well, this goes back to 1976, and we're in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And for those of you who visit the Krishna Balaram temple, you may have come to know that right behind the International Krishna Balaram guest house is the Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Ashram. It's just across a tiny little lane. And when we were there, before the temple was opened in 1974, their sound was quite prominent over the sound of the construction work made by all the workers finishing touches to the temple. And of course, they've been chanting their Akan Kirtan for decades. And so Prabhupada, he decided to do this particular interesting thing. And perhaps some of you might be surprised to hear what he did, but he called me into his darshan room in his house, and he said, "You know, I'm constantly hearing these Nitai Gaur Hari Shyam Babas singing their nonsense. So I've come up with a special mantra that I want everyone who comes to Vrindavan to chant this particular mantra, because this is a bona fide mantra." And the mantra goes like this: Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Jaya Krishna Balaram. Can everyone repeat? Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Jaya Krishna Balaram. And he said, this is not concoction. It's not concoction, because of course there's three altars in the Krishna Balaram temple. On the one to the left, as you're having darshan of the deities, there's Gaur Nitai. In the middle altar, there's Krishna Balaram. And on the right altar, there's Radha Shyam Sundar, along with Vishakha Lalita. So he said, when you chant Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Jaya Krishna Balaram, you're glorifying all the deities. All the deities are present on the altar. And he said, this will fulfill two purposes. First of all, you're glorifying the deities by singing Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Jaya Krishna Balaram. This is not concocted by me, I can assure you. This is coming straight from Srila Prabhupada's transcendental lips. And he said, and those Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Babas, when they hear us singing Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, they'll think, ah, they've adopted our mantra at last. We're having some effect on those ISKCON people. So I humbly request that when you ever visit, of course, it's specifically meant for the Krishna Balaram temple, but I think you can also say it anywhere also, because they're the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nitai Gaur, Radhe Shyam, and Krishna and Balaram. Another thing I was thinking, I was meditating on, that when Prabhupada introduced this Panchatattva mantra, the Panchatattva were also available to be seen by the eyes, because the very first painting was done by Jadurani of the Panchatattva, as instructed by Srila Prabhupada in New York in about beginning of 1967. And the first one was actually printed on a Back to Godhead magazine, one of the old ones from the 1960s. And Prabhupada, of course, wanted our society to expand, to open up many, many centers, not just one or two, but he had a vision that we have to try to some another make the prophecy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name and, of course, the Panchatattva's names will be sung and heard in every town and village. So a devotee that time asked, well, what should we do? How should we go about opening a temple somewhere in a new city? And Prabhupada said, well, you take a copy of the Panchatattva, either you blow it up and make it a big one, or you maybe perhaps one of the devotees in your in your group are artistic, and they can also paint. And you paint on canvas the Panchatattva, and when you go to that new city, you perform Harinam Sankirtan, and you take out the Panchatattva. And you also, of course, use that same painting on your altar, and you worship the Panchatattva, because it's by the mercy of the Panchatattva that you become successful in your devotional activities. And I was recalling that when we went to Amsterdam in 1970, We also had a painting that we took of Panchatattva. And occasionally we'd go out on the street like a banner, you know, on a long piece of wood. And someone would be responsible for carrying that painting of Panchatattva. And at that time, we didn't have a proper mridanga. We had what's known as a dolak. You might know it's got a wooden body, and there's, you know, it's very flat, and yet, generally speaking, quite heavy, yeah, depending on the size. But so we didn't have a proper mridanga. And I was thinking it would be nice to have a mridanga to take out, because coming from here, we did have a couple of mridangas, but there weren't any to spare. So we just had this tiny little dolak, and it didn't sound very methodical, didn't sound very sweet, the sound. It was more like a tom-tom drum. And it also didn't sound very loud. And one particular day when we were out with the Panchatattva painting, I noticed that there was about four or five Indian people looking towards us, and they were enjoying the kirtan. Then they came across the street, they waited for the trams to pass and then the bicycles, and then they came across and they said, "What are you doing in Amsterdam?" And we said, "Well, we're trying to spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu." And they said, almost in unison, he said, that's a wonderful sight for us. He says, "We're actually Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We're coming from Navadvip in West Bengal." And I actually hadn't really heard of Navadvip. I didn't really quite know where that was. You know, I wasn't kind of geographically kind of, because I hadn't been to India. And it's not every day that you meet some people who call themselves Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And you start thinking, well, are they really real, or are they just saying that to flatter us or something? And they said, you know, and I said, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "Well, we've been on a merchant ship from Calcutta, and we're docked in Amsterdam. And so we're offloading goods." And they said, "We'd love you to come to our ship and perform kirtan and purify our room where we sleep, like a little dormitory room." And so I thought, well, that's really interesting. Again, we don't get too many invitations to go to a ship, especially. Anybody been invited onto a ship to have kirtan? It's very rare, isn't it? Very rare. And anyway, we went up the gangplank. It was quite a large merchant ship. And they took us to their quarters. And they said, "Would you like to perform kirtan?" I said, "Oh, yeah, this is, you know, we're supposed to be performing as much as possible." And then I told them that in London, I was trained up there to do 9 hours of kirtan every day, 6 days a week. We go out 3 times a day, from 9 till 12, 2 till 5, and 7 till 10. This is before we knew or was told by Prabhupada that Mangalarti is supposed to be at 4:30. We had our Mangalarti at 6 o'clock in the morning because we stay out late at night. And I said, "Yeah, we chant the Panchatattva mantra every time before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha mantra." And they said, "This is also our tradition." And so they said, "We've been looking at your drum, this dolak. It's not a very sweet sounding drum, is it?" And I said, "Well, you might have noticed then. Yeah, you're right." I said, "Well, we just happen to have in our cabin a coal, a proper mridanga made in Navadvip, a clay mridanga with a small head and a big head. I said, perhaps we can present to you this coal that we've only played a few times. We'd be honored if you would accept this gift and use it on your Harinam Sankirtan." So I took this as a mercy of Gaur Nitai. Actually, Prabhupada said that if we want to spread the Krishna conscious culture are all around the world. He said we can only do it through the worship of Gaur Nitai. Nobody else, not Radha Krishna, not Jagannath, not Sitaram, but Gaur Nitai. Another story I can tell regarding that, I'm kind of, you know, in this mood of remembering things related with Gaur Nitai. Again, in the same year, 1976, of course, if you want to hear this story also, it might be of interest to you. You might also become enlivened to do something as well. But in 1976, again, in Prabhupada's darshan room, he called me. And he said, I've been meditating on our world Sankirtan activities. He says it's high time now that we go to a higher level. He said, book distribution on Sankirtan is wonderful. We can't, in any way have any criticism for the book distribution. That has to go on. But he said, these books are book Bhagavat. But he said, but Gaur Nitai, they're person Bhagavat. And their Patita Pavanam. And he said, now I want to start the second level of Sankirtan, distributing Gaur Nitai on the street to every person that you meet. I'm deadly serious. And he went on to describe the size and the metal. He said they should be brass, they should be kept in a little box with a clear plastic window. Already packaged, just like he said, actually we can call them Hare Krishna dolls. I know my god sister in Mayapur, Rimati, she's taken up this task of distributing Hare Krishna dolls in a huge way, but she's got soft, cuddly dolls meant for small children to play with. But he said for the general populace, we want these Hare Krishna dolls to go into every town, into every home. And he said, it doesn't matter, even if they're non-vegetarian. He said, the Gaur Nitai are so merciful, they can enter into the home of a meat eater and not take offense. Have you heard this before? You've heard this before, but not everybody. I think there's some you never heard. Quite astonishing. And there happened to be a Spanish devotee, Sri Padam Bhuja, and he was a sculptor. So, I said to Prabhupada, should we make our own? Because, of course, in Loy Bazaar, you'll find so many shops that are selling Gaur Nitai, so many different sizes, and so many other murtis as well. And he said, well, first of all, I want you to come with me to Aligarh. Aligarh is a university town. Almost by train, it's almost like a day's journey from Mathura. We took the, and actually Prabhupada invited me to come. He said, I'm having a program at the home of this wealthy businessman called Mr. Seigel. He's famous for making locks, tiger locks they're called. And he said, so I want you to come with me and you visit all the different factories where they work with brass. And of course, besides locks, they were also making deities for Vrindavan. In fact, the majority of those deities are not made in Vrindavan, although some are. They're mostly made in Aligarh, and then they're finished in Vrindavan. They use different kinds of implements to polish the deities, to get rid of all the rough edges and so on, because when you cast brass, naturally there's rough edges, and it takes a while to do that finishing. And he said, so I want you to seriously explore the idea of purchasing large quantities of Gaur Nitai. He said that at that time in 1976, we have about 120 centers around the world. So every center should take 10 pairs of deities a month. So if every center takes 10 pairs, that's 1,200 sets of Gaur Nitai, Hare Krishna dolls, a month. He said that is good business. So you should do that. And then he also went as far as to say how to sell them on the street. He said many people, they collect dolls from around the world. When they go to Hawaii, they get a Hawaiian doll. If they go to France, they get a French doll. If they go to Switzerland, they get a Swiss doll. Scotland, a Scottish, you get the picture, a Japanese doll. They said, so then, they should also have a Hare Krishna doll. Because they've got so many other dolls there. And so he said that when you approach somebody, you said, look, excuse me, I've got these Hare Krishna dolls with me. They're very, very special dolls. If you look after them nicely, they will fulfill all your desires. And so he said that should be the hook. Just like we say so many things to get people to take the book. This book is about yoga, meditation, karma, and so on. And you'll benefit by reading this book. And just thank you for touching the book. You're becoming, already now your spiritual life has begun. So in the same way, Prabhupada said, you can take these dolls home with you. And he said, even if they themselves don't want to find out how to look after them properly, when they get back home and they show their family members, the rest of their family, these little brass dolls, they'll think, what are you doing? Why did you get those? Oh, I got them from Hare Krishna, they said. If I look after them, they'll fulfill all my desires. And the spur of the moment, I thought, sure, I want all my desires fulfilled. Just like, and I remember in America in the early 70s, there was a craze for having pet stones, pet rocks. Don't know if you know about that, but they came with little funny faces painted on them. They're just really pebbles from the beach. Basically worthless. But they were packaged and they were called pet rocks. And they came in different shapes and sizes and little expressions and so on and so forth. And people collected them. So in the same way, Prabhupada said that sooner or later, some member of that family will think, well, I really want my desires fulfilled. And how do I know what to do? Well, then he said, the only person they can contact is a devotee. Because it was a devotee who sold the dolls in the first place. And he said, then you can sell them Arctic paraphernalia. You can explain to them about offering their foodstuffs, their water, a leaf, a fruit, a flower, so on and so forth. And he was deadly serious about it. Because we actually, this Padam Bhuja, he made a couple of castings of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. But the first ones were a little bit wrongly made. Their chests were too narrow. Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya's chest is 1.5 arms broad, like this plus another half. He had very, very broad shoulders, and so did Nityananda Prabhu. He said, well, now we have to make them appealing to the people, and they should be according to the description that's to be found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we did that. And when we had the good fortune to live in Mayapur for a few years, this is in the early 90s, because Gaur Nithai were much cheaper there, and it was very easy to get to those places where they were making them, I decided that I have to... I mean, I did have a little shop in the school, the Gurukul building in Vrindavan. And so we also sold little boxes of Gaur Nithai and little wooden boxes. And I remember Shivram Swami, who was a brahmachari at that time, he actually bought one off me and a few other god brothers and god sisters and so on. But I really got into distributing them in a big way in the thousands when I was based in Sridham Mayapur. Now, who is this Nityananda Prabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Because it's good to know for sure that he is no ordinary personality. So in the Adi Lila, chapter 5, this chapter is chiefly devoted to describing the essential nature and glories of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Sri Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead, and his first expansion in a form for pastimes is Sri Balaram. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that, this is in text number 3, I have described the glory of Sri Krishna Chaitanya in 6 verses. Now in 5 verses, I shall describe the glory of Lord Nityananda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. And the purport Prabhupada says, Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead. And his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The Personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Svangsa. And forms that have limited potencies, living entities, are called Vibhinangsa, So this svangsa potency is described briefly by Srila Prabhupada. That beyond the limitation of this material world is a spiritual sky, Paravyoma, which has many spiritual planets, the supreme of which is called Krishna Loka. Krishna Loka, the abode of Krishna, has three divisions, which are known as Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula. In that abode, the personality of Godhead expands himself into four plenary portions, Krishna, Balaram, Pradyumna, the transcendental Cupid, and Aniruddha. They are known as the original quadruple forms. In Krishna Loka is a transcendental place known as Svetadvip, or Vrindavan. Below Krishna Loka, in the spiritual sky, are the Vaikuntha planets. On each Vaikuntha planet, a four-handed Narayana, expanded from the first quadruple manifestation, is present. The personality of Godhead known as Sri Balaram in Krishna Loka is original Sankarshan, or attracting deity. And from this Sankarshan expands another Sankarshan called Maha Sankarshan, who resides in one of the Vaikuntha planets. By his internal potency, Maha Sankarshan maintains the transcendental existence of all the planets in the spiritual sky, where all the living beings are eternally liberated souls. The influences of the material energy is conspicuous there by its absence. On those planets, the second quadruple manifestation is present. Outside of the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal manifestation of Sri Krishna, which is known as the Brahmaloka. On the other side of the Brahmaloka is the spiritual Karana Samudra, or causal ocean. The material energy exists on the other side of the causal ocean, without touching it. In the causal ocean is Mahavishnu, the original Purusha expansion from Sankarshan. This Mahavishnu places his glance over the material energy, and by reflection of his transcendental body, he amalgamates himself within the material elements. As the source of the material elements, the material energy is known as Pradhan, and as the source of the manifestations of the material energy, it is known as Maya. But material nature is inert, in that she has no independent power to do anything by herself. She is empowered to make the cosmic manifestation by the glance of Mahavishnu. Therefore, the material energy is not the original cause of the material manifestation. Rather, the transcendental glance of Mahavishnu over material nature produces that cosmic manifestation. Mahavishnu again enters every universe as a reservoir of all living entities, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. From Garbhadakshay Vishnu expands Kiradakshay Vishnu, the supersoul of every living entity. Garbhadakshay Vishnu also has his own Vaikuntha planet in every universe, where he lives as a supersoul or supreme controller of the universe. Garbhadakshay Vishnu reclines in the midst of the watery portion of the universe and generates the first living creatures of the universe, Brahman. The imaginary universal form is a partial manifestation of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So, and of course, he expands once more as Kiradakshay Vishnu, and he lives on Svetadvip. But also, of course, Kiradakshay Vishnu is the supersoul, Paramatma. Because we, you know, when we talk about the spiritual master, we see that the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the supersoul. And the Antaryami, or the internal guru, is Paramatma. And who is that Paramatma? In Kali Yuga, Lila, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. So we all have Nityananda Prabhu within our hearts. That's astonishing. That's an amazing meditation. Because what it means is that Nityananda Prabhu is never alone. He's always eternally serving Krishna. So along with Nityananda Prabhu, unbeknownst to us, there's also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which is quite striking also, because actually Gaur Nithai are within everyone's heart. Not only are they manifesting their lila here on this mundane platform that we're all existing on, but they're eternally engaged in their lila in Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, because that's the eternal abode of Nityananda Prabhu. So we see this painting, this beautiful painting, this BBT painting of the entire creation. And just to give an idea of the size and the length and breadth of this total creation, we say that one quarter of the total creation is occupied by the Mahatattva, or that area where all the universes are coming. They're coming from, obviously, from the body, the pores, and the mouth of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean, and that causal ocean can never be in any way measured. It's immeasurable. It's always eternally expanding. And so from all those different bubbles that are emanating from the skin holes, the pore holes, and from the mouth of Mahavishnu, they expand, and some become this size universe, which is one of the smaller ones, where we only have a Brahma who possesses four heads. But we know from the story from the Krishna book, from the 10th canto, that there's a Lord Brahma in every single universe. And some of these universes are enormous, which is incomprehensible, because those Brahmas that occupy those really extremely large universes have thousands of heads, sometimes tens of thousands of heads, sometimes hundreds of thousands of heads, and even up to millions of heads. Again, it's just inconceivable. But we need to have Shraddha. We need to have faith in what the Guru is giving us. And we have to really guard against what's known as the mad elephant offense, of considering that what the spiritual master, the Guru, who's also a direct representative of Nityananda Prabhu. And we have to remember also, what does Nityananda mean? Nitya means forever, and Ananda means happiness. So he's a source of eternal happiness. If you want to be happy in this miserable world, just like we're being inundated by so much rain, and there's not too many people that are walking around with big smiles on their faces, especially if their homes are underwater, even if it's only about 6 inches or a foot. It's not like dramatically underwater. It's not like we're being flooded by a tsunami. But some or another, there's all that damage that's being caused by Mother Nature. And why is that? Well, because, generally speaking, people are neglecting to turn to Nityananda Prabhu and become happy. They're thinking that they can some or other squeeze their happiness from this spot life. And they're always struggling hard with the mind and the senses to juggle everything in their lives. But in Krishna consciousness, we don't need to be a juggler anymore. We can put down all these different things and practice the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Panchatattva Mantra, and take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and the Nityananda Prabhus. But we're given all this philosophy. Why is that? Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami concludes without any shadow of any question or doubt, who is Lord Nityananda? And Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he has come in that particular form that we identify with, two-arm form, very handsome, very powerful, not just powerful materially, but powerful spiritually. And the reason that he's come is to deliver all the fallen souls. And if we heard the song that we heard the school children sing this morning, that when we come to the point of accepting Lord Nityananda as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the one who can be the benefactor in our lives, by chanting the Panchatattva Mantra, by chanting the Maha Mantra, by engaging in devotional service, that this is how we can get eternal happiness. And it's tangible. It's something that we can actually experience. Myself, I've only been practicing Krishna consciousness for 45 years, that's all. It sounds like a lot of time, especially if you're in your teenage years or younger, or maybe in your early 20s. But it's not. It's something that resonates with everybody, because it's so simple. It's such a simple process of self-realization. It means that by accepting the authority of the Guru, and we have to do that, Yasha Prashadat Bhagavad Prashado Yashada Naki, by the mercy of Krishna we get the Guru, and by the mercy of the Guru we can actually understand what our true eternal existence is. It's here to serve, and whether we're serving here or when we leave this body, we continue to serve in the next life. Perhaps we'll take another birth. Prabhupada did mention that many of the devotees, they will take their next birth in a universe where Lord Krishna's pastimes are going on. And they'll take the birth in a family of devotees who are serving Krishna. So they get trained up how to serve Krishna nicely. And then they go back to Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. But in some occasions, some devotees have gone directly from this body directly to Krishna. But we shouldn't be concerned about that. We should be concerned about how we can blissfully serve, especially ISKCON, because ISKCON is completely without, you can say, a shadow of a doubt, the perfect vehicle and how to go back home, back to Godhead. And because the time is going, I'd like to just say a little bit about the Leela of Nityananda. So this is, Nityananda Prabhu was born in the village of Ekachakra, also called, Ekchakra, also called Ekachakra, in the country of Radhadesh. His birth site is commemorated by a small temple named Garbhavasa and is visited by throngs of pilgrims to this day. Although no authorized account of his birth is extant, it is said that he was born in or near the year of 1474. And that makes him 12 years older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya appeared in 1486. And that his father's name was Hadai Oja. Hadai was a well-known pundit, having descended from a good Brahmana family whose origins were in Mithila, which is in present-day Bihar. And his wife's name was Padmavati. Their only son, Nityananda, was born on the auspicious 13th day of the bright fortnight of the month of Magh. As a child, Nitai, as he was called, had a close circle of friends, and together they used to imitate the pastimes of Vishnu and his associates. Once they dressed themselves as demigods and petitioned the Lord to alleviate the burdened earth of Kali Yuga. Nityananda Prabhu and a playmate who was dressed as the ailing earth, along with the other children, took their game to the Ganges, where they addressed Lord Vishnu. At that time, one of the children hid behind a rock and spoke in a grave voice, "I will soon be born in Mathura to lighten the oppression of the earth." The boys enjoyed themselves as children do while becoming completely absorbed in Krishna Lila. On another occasion, Nitai and his friends gathered in an imitation village to celebrate the marriage of Vasudeva and Devaki, the parents of Krishna. The following day, they made their playhouse into the prison of Kamsa and enacted the entire story of Krishna's birth. Once, while acting out this episode, Nitai transformed the area into a cowherd settlement and took Krishna there, deceiving Kamsa by substituting Yogamaya for Krishna within the prison. Performing these intricately woven stories on a daily basis, the children became quite close and came to love Nitai as their natural leader and friend. He was the most imaginative among them, and they all laughed and shared joyful exchanges when he would dress them like demons. When they staged the Putana story, for example, they would engage in uproarious laughter when one of their friends pretended to suck the demoness's breasts like baby Krishna. Sometimes Nitai would construct demons out of toys, naming them Bakasura, Agasura, Vatsasura, and so on, and would go through the motions of battling with them and finally killing them. So besides making Krishna-conscious dolls, here's an idea for someone, maybe Rimati, she can make little demon dolls too. Just like Nitai did. And then pretend to kill them all. His friends were so entertained by his play-acting that they would come back day after day just to see him do it again and again. Once in a while, his friends would take the roles of the elephant Kuvalaya Pita, or the wrestlers Chanura and Mustika. Nita would fight with them, knock them down, and drag them off by the hair. By the end of the day, their stomachs would ache from laughter, and they would tell their parents about the great fun enjoyed with Nita in play acting. Sometimes Nita would bring his friends to the local milkman and have them watch him steal butter and yogurt, as Krishna did in his Vrajalila. The milkman, of course, did not complain. In fact, he was an accomplice. Setting aside excess dairy for Nita and his friends, expecting them to show up. All the adults of Ekachakra adored Nita. They were fascinated by this unique little boy, and they loved him as their own. Seeing his total absorption in Krishna and the avatars of Vishnu, they suspected that he might be some sort of incarnation himself. He was relentless, day after day, enacting a different pastime, and did it so skillfully that his neighbors wondered, "How is it that he is so talented? How is it he knows so many details that we don't know?" No one has explained all these details to him. One day he imitated Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, with all aspects of the story acted out perfectly. On another, he constructed a replica of Vrindavan, performing many parts of Krishna's Vrajalila with marked realism. And in still another, he pretended to steal the clothes of the gopis and visit the wives of the brahmanas engaged in sacrifice. On one occasion, one of the boys dressed as Akrura and took Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan on the order of Kamsa. Nitai cried in grief, feeling the separation of the gopis. Tears of love flowed from his eyes. His acting was so authentic that it made all who watched question whether he was merely acting or in some way experiencing the part he played. This was true whether he was playing Krishna, Balaram, or even Vamana, or other incarnations of the Lord. "Nitai, where have you learned all this?" one of the neighborhood ladies asked. Nityananda enjoyed her question. "They are my own divine pastimes," he said, "and I am allowing you to see them." The townspeople laughed, shaking their heads. They did not know what to make of him. And so in his 13th year, still residing in Ekachakra with his parents, were visited by a sannyasi, a wandering sannyasi. Some say he was Lakshmipati Tirtha, but it's not so confirmed. So this sannyasi stayed at the home of Nitai's parents, Hadai, Oja, and Padmavati. And he was about to leave, where Hadai Pandit said, "Whatever I have is yours," because that was a custom, that when a sannyasi entered the home of a householder, that they would see that this is God himself in the form of this sannyasi has come to my home. And God owns everything, near mama, nothing is mine, everything belongs to God. So in this mood of desiring to serve the sannyasi properly and make him happy, he said, "Whatever I have here, you can please, whatever you want, you take." So the sannyasi said, "I am traveling alone, and your little boy, this 12-year-old boy, will be very useful for me, very helpful in managing my affairs. If I have a very nice brahmana as a servant, an associate, I would like to take your son, Nitai, with me." And he was the only child of the family. So when Hadai Pandit heard this, he didn't know what to do. It was like a sharp flaming arrow has torn into his heart. He began to consider, "I have promised him to give him everything that I have. I cannot break my word. But at the same time, I cannot live without my son. He is everything to me." He began to think about how Dasarath Maharaj, in order to preserve the principles of truth and respect those who are in renounced order, he gave his sons Ram and Lakshman away to Vishwamitra Muni, even although it was so difficult for him. So he was thinking that I must follow in the footsteps of great souls like Maharaj Dasarath, however painful it may be. So he went to his wife Padmavati and said, "What should I do?" And she, being a very faithful and very loving wife, she said, "My dear husband, whatever you decide is what I decide." So with tears in his eyes, he went to the brahmana. He said, "If you really want my son, then you can take him." So Nitai wanted to be with him, and preach the glories of the Lord. But he knew that his mother and father were so much attached to him, he could not break their hearts. So when the sannyasi came, he accepted this divine arrangement and left home with him. And as soon as he left, Hadai Pandit fell unconscious. He could not bear the separation. He was simply crying day and night. He was drowning in an ocean of grief. There was nothing in life that had any meaning or favor for him without the presence of Nitai. He remembered the day where everywhere he went, he would bring his son Nitai. When he went to the market, Nitai would be behind him, and he would be looking around, making sure he was always with him, within sight, always worried for his welfare. Indeed, wherever he went, he could not bear a moment of separation from his loving son. And now his son has gone to the forest with the sannyasi. It was far too much for him to bear. He could not eat, he could not sleep, he could only cry in a piteous voice with tears streaming from his eyes day and night. Because he was always absorbed in thought with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his life was some or other being maintained without eating, without sleeping, without drinking. And in the last few days, due to the affliction of an utterly broken heart, he left his body and went to Vaikuntha in deep meditation on his son Nitai. So for 20 years, Nityananda Prabhu, or Nitai as he was known at that time, traveled the length and breadth of India. Even he went to Badrik Ashram and had darshan of Srila Vyasadeva. He went to Orissa, and there he met Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri was also a very exalted, pure devotee of the Lord. And so he immediately recognized when he came in the association of Nityananda Prabhu that here is God come in his most munificent form as Nityananda. And he started to cry tears of ecstasy. And those tears of ecstasy caused Nityananda Prabhu to start, you know, tearing up in his eyes. All the tears were welling up in his eyes. And he also started crying. And then they embraced. And they, by that embrace, they fell unconscious because they were relishing each other's association so much. Of course, Madhavendra Puri later on became the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri, who was the spiritual master of Nimai Pandit. So Madhavendra Puri also, of course, is linked with the Kirchor Gopinath Lila in Remuna, which is in North Orissa, near the station of Balasore. Has anyone visited that Kirchor Gopinath temple? Put your hand up. It's a beautiful place. It's a very, very special atmosphere there. And you can still get that same kheer that was put aside by the deity for Madhavendra Puri. They're still making that same kheer. And so they give that out as prasad from the main altar. And so Nityananda Prabhu ended up finally in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And in Sri Vrindavan Dham, he started, again, acting in a very unusual way because he was, after all, an avaduta. And so sometimes he would, as he would visit the banks of the Jamuna and meditate on the different pastimes that Krishna enacted there 5,000 years ago, he would swoon in ecstasy. Sometimes he would roll over in the sand uncontrollably, back and forth, back and forth. And he wasn't at all conscious of feeling hunger or thirst. So for 2 years, he spent continuously in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And from time to time, the villagers would come and they would bring some yogurt or some milk. And he would accept just a little of that. But otherwise, he was completely absorbed in Krishna Lila, and of course his own Lila, because of course Balaram is also in Vrindavan. And So he kept waiting there, because during this time, I mentioned that Nimai Pandit, he took initiation from Ishwarapuri. And he took initiation in Gaya before the transcendental impression of Lord Vishnu's footprint in this rock, which is to be found even today in Gaya. And so when he asked Ishwarapuri, "What should I do?" And Ishwarapuri said, "You should just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." That's your only occupation. And you should try to distribute this Maha Mantra to everybody. So actually Nimai Pandit's mood just before visiting Gaya was as a scholar. But then when he took this instruction from Ishwarapuri, his whole mentality changed. And now he became driven. My spiritual master has given me this instruction to spread the holy name around. So this is now I should start Nam Sankirtan. And this is what Nityananda Prabhu is also Balaram. Nityananda Prabhu was waiting for this opportunity so that he could once more be with his Lord in spreading the holy name. So he visited Navadvip, and he stayed, but he came incognito, and he came to stay in the house of Nandan Acharya, which is not very far from the house of Srivas Angam, Srivas Thakur's house. And of course, the first kirtans that the Lord performed were behind closed doors. They were secretly done in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur's house. And but some other Lord Chaitanya sensed that there was a great personality somewhere in the proximity. So he sent out some of his followers to find out who has come, who is it that's causing me these feelings of ecstasy. But they searched high and low, and they couldn't find anybody. By the mystic powers of Balaram, although Balaram was residing in a very close proximity. But then finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because those servants came back and said, we're not successful in our search. So Lord Chaitanya said, "I will personally go." And within a very short time, he went to the home of Nandan Acharya and discovered that Nityananda Prabhu was there. And so then he was completely ecstatic. And just like I described this meeting between Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda, so also in the home of Nandan Acharya, Lord Chaitanya embraced Nityananda Prabhu, and they started swooning, and it was very difficult for anyone to pull them apart. They were inseparable, completely inseparable. And so then they started doing Harinam Sankirtan together. So, and Lord Chaitanya, he saw that sooner or later, if I want to get full recognition for what I've descended, because at one stage, Lord Chaitanya started calling out Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. Started calling out the names of the gopis instead of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And some people started chastising him and saying, "Why are you doing that? That's not the mantra. The Maha Mantra for Kali Yuga is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It's not Gopi, 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 Gopi." So he took this as an indication that he should give up his household or life and become a sannyasi. But of course, as a sannyasi, because there are so many restrictions about how a sannyasi could preach, that Lord Chaitanya requested Nityananda Prabhu to marry. He said, "You should become a householder, and you should go from house to house and beg everyone to take up the chanting of the holy name. And even if you go to a liquor shop, or if you go to the home of prostitutes. No one can criticize you because you're not a sannyasi. I can't go to these places, but you can go to these places for preaching. Even one time I remember when we were staying at John Lennon's estate, 1969. We just finished doing a program in Oxford with Srila Prabhupada. It was a very successful program there. There's about 700 people showed up for the program in the town hall. And there are some photos that were taken at that time. And Mukunda's playing the organ, as a big organ at the back, and he was, instead of a little harmonium, because he was an expert pianist, he was a professional pianist, he thought he can't, resist this temptation to play the organ while Prabhupada was leading a kirtan. And that sound was tumultuous, absolutely tumultuous and ecstatic. And even Prabhupada started dancing on the stage, and everybody got up out of their seats. They were dancing in ecstasy because of the sound, the reverberating sound of the organ and the kirtan. It was absolutely, totally blissful. And Prabhupada actually said that from now on, he said, the class of teaching should be here. The preaching should be for the classes in Oxford, and London should be for the masses. So he said the next temple we should establish is in Oxford, after London. We didn't have a temple at the time. We were staying on the estate of John Lennon, and Shamsun was doing all this construction work, and nobody could live there because it was too dangerous. So we were without a temple, so to speak, at that time. Anyway, we got back about 10:30, because the program started at 7. Very successful. There were so many questions and answers and so on and so forth. And there were so many people learning how to say Nitai Gaur, Hari Bol, and, so many things. So we drove back. We had this little minibus. But then Prabhupada noticed that we weren't going back to our quarters to sleep. We were actually kind of getting ready to go back out again. Because that particular evening, we had a program in Mayfair, at this very swanky club called the Revolution Club. I don't know if it still exists. Anybody know? Anybody got any friends or property in Mayfair? No. Anyway, so it was a very, very swanky place. And one of the MPs that was helping us to get everything legalized, or, Mems and Arts, as they're called, for the association, for the charity, Tom Dryberg, I even remember his name, he was a Labour MP, Tom Dryberg. He was also there. So Prabhupada noticed. He said, where are you going? At this time, it's late at night. It's 10:30. You should be going to sleep. And so Gurudev said, actually, Prabhupada, we have this engagement. It's going to start at midnight. And we're going to do kirtan in this place. And Prabhupada said, what is that place like? He said, well, it's a very swanky private club. And everyone's going to sit down to a big meal. Big non-vegetarian meal, obviously, not vegetarian, not prasadam. And then champagne and wine and so on and so forth. Because, they spent a lot of money for this particular intriguing appearance of the Radha Krishna temple. Because we got this venue through our agent. We had an agent. I can remember his name, Terry King. Terry King and Associates. And he was booking us all over the country and all different clubs and stuff like that. So that evening, he had booked us into this place. So when Prabhupada heard about the meat eating and all the drinking and the intoxication, Prabhupada said, it sounds like you're going to hell. Sounds just like a description of hell. He said, but still, devotees, they can also go to hell for preaching on one condition, that they don't stay there, they come straight back. So just like, Lord Chaitanya mentioned this thing about Nityananda Prabhu, you can go to these places where they're drinking and so on and so forth. In the same way, none of us were sannyasis. Because there's not a place for sannyasis to go to a private club and do a performance. Obviously, we got paid some money for it too. But that was kind of like a reflection there of the risks that devotees can take as long as they don't. They give association, they don't take association, then it's okay, then it's bona fide. You don't want to start taking association from these people, non-devotees. But at the same time, you have to react with them, we have to interact, we have to try to purify them and help them as much as we can. That's why book distribution, and hopefully, if you want to take up this this task of making little Hare Krishna dolls. So you can even go door to door with them as well. There's no hard and fast rule for distributing the books and also the dolls. So, now of course we know the story of Jagai and Madai. Then Nityananda Prabhu was out preaching. He was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to the homes of the most fallen. And we know, of course, about the fact that Madai, through this cracked wine jug, which hit the forehead of Nityananda Prabhu, and blood started to come. And of course, Lord Chaitanya immediately understood what was going on, and he appeared at that place with the Sudarshan Chakra, and he wanted to cut off the head of Madai. And Nityananda Prabhu said, "No, no, please stop, because everyone in this age is going to be like a Jagai and Madai. Maybe not as bad. They may, you know, be little Jagais and little Madais, but they'll have the same tendencies, the same weaknesses as those people." So then Lord Chaitanya saw how merciful that Nityananda Prabhu was. And then he said, "All right, I'll accept on one condition, that they pay their prostrated obeisances right now, and they promise that never again will they ever engage in any kind of sinful activity." And so they promised, they begged at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then to show that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had accepted all their sins, his body became blackish. It turned black due to all the sinful offenses they had committed. Imagine that Lord Chaitanya is a beautiful, you know, golden color, but his body became black by accepting all the sins and on that promise. Now, there's also another little leela where one thief came. This is when Nityananda Prabhu was staying at the house of Hiranya Pandit. And Hiranya Pandit was also a resident of Srinavadip Dam, but on the outskirts of the town. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila chapter 10, text number 70, it says there that they're talking about the different branches of Lord Chaitanya. And the 32nd branch was Hiranya Mahasaya, or Hiranya Pandit, unto whom Lord Chaitanya in his childhood showed his causeless mercy. So in the purport, Prabhupada says that regarding Hiranya Pandit, it is said that once Lord Nityananda, decorated with valuable jewels, stayed at his home, and a great thief attempted all night long to plunder these jewels, but was unsuccessful. Later he came to Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered unto him. So here was a thief. He was coming not to get purified, but he wanted to steal. Because Nityananda Prabhu, being an avaduta, he liked to dress quite distinctly from everybody else. He would wear opulent silk cloth and beautiful jewels and earrings and amulets and bangles, and he'd wear on his ankles silver jewelry. So he was, you know, from head to foot, covered in opulence. But this particular thief was attracted to Nityananda Prabhu not because of his mercy, but because of his opulence. And he wanted to rob Nityananda Prabhu of that opulence. Such a foolish person. But, you know, obviously he couldn't, because, you know, he's up against the master of all trickery, Nityananda Prabhu. But Nityananda Prabhu was so merciful that he accepted even a thief as his disciple. He became his disciple even as a thief. And I just wanted to say a few seconds before I want to finish off with a description of what Nityananda Prabhu appeared as to Krishnadas Kaviraj, who gave him the impetus to write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Got a few minutes. But again, I was reflecting in Mumbai at the Hare Krishna land. There was one boy that was coming. I'm not going to mention his name. You might know him, but anyway, keep that as a secret. But he would come every evening for Prabhupada's darshan. He was about 17 years old. And he always liked to sit at the front. Sometimes, you know, he would very gently push his way to the front. And all the devotees were thinking, wow, he is so dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. He wants to get Prabhupada's mercy. He wants to get up as close to him as he possibly could. And, you know, and some people were admiring that he was able to do that, because generally speaking, you know, if you're in the room of a, you know, and it's not a big room, but a small room, and it's crowded with so many devotees, you'll find devotees who are bold and they'll sit at the front, and you'll find devotees who are not so bold will sit at the back, depending on their qualities that they possess. Sometimes I felt like that. Sometimes I felt like I wanted to be right on Prabhupada's lap, practically speaking. And sometimes I did something foolish, and I wanted to be at the very, very back, and he wouldn't notice me. Of course, Prabhupada noticed everybody. So he was also noticing this boy, too. And some other devotees were saying, Prabhupada, look at this little boy. He's only 17. He's a Bengali boy. You speak to him in Bengali. You're very personal with him. Almost like you're like a loving father to him. But all the time, and he confessed this, he said the reason he was wanting to come so close to Srila Prabhupada, that he was attracted by Prabhupada's gold watch. Not to Prabhupada, to his gold watch. And he wanted to steal that watch off Prabhupada's wrist. And he was expert, just like, I don't know if you've ever been on the train that goes from Viliparli to Churchgate. You know that line, right? It goes all the way to Churchgate, which is the last stop. And all the, you know, every train is packed, and it's hot, and you're sweating, you're going like this, you know. Someone's going to rob me. And that's because you're tightly packed and you can't help touching other people. And of course, Mumbai had I think it still does, has a reputation for having the most expert thieves. And they have these little razor blades and they can cut and take something. You see a little bulge and they think, oh, this is where the money is. And you don't feel a thing. You don't feel a thing. It happened to me in a shop. I went one day with one devotee and I lost my wallet like that. But during the train journey, I was like, you know, of course we're using money belts and all kinds of ways to conceal whatever because we had to buy stuff at the temple or whatever. But, you know, you're feeling like that, you know, my goodness. Anyway, so this boy had learned the art of stealing really expertly from his cohorts, his friends. And the only reason he was getting closer and closer to Prabhupada, he was waiting for that golden opportunity to slip off that watch from Prabhupada's wrist and take it. But somehow or another, Prabhupada knew. He knew his mind. And he told him, he said, don't be foolish enough to just want to take my watch. You should listen to what I'm saying to you. This knowledge I'm giving you will take you back home to the home of the greatest thief, Makanchor. Goloka Vrindavan. So don't waste your time trying to get my watch. It's not really real gold anyway. Because Prabhupada didn't like to do that. He didn't particularly like to wear opulent watches. All right, now this is the last thing. And I want this to, you know, perhaps remain in your heart, this description. And this is coming directly from the pen of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. This is again from the 10th chapter of Adi Lila, text number 71. I'll just read the translation. Sorry, it's actually from Adi Lila, chapter 5, text 180. And Kaviraj Goswami is speaking himself. That night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother, which we don't have time to get into. But anyway, Lord Nityananda was pleased with what Kaviraj did. In the village of Jamatapura, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. Arise, get up, he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy, blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms, and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted, "Krishna, Krishna," in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like coward boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees and also chanted, "Krishna, Krishna," absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, quality, and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows, "Oh, my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things." After saying this, he directed me toward Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground. My dream broke. And when I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second, I started for Vrindavan, and by his mercy, I reached there in great happiness. Srila Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. So the moral of the story is that when you get an instruction from your guru, whether it's by dream or by physical presence or by book, then follow that instruction. That's the dearmost thing, the dearmost possession you'll ever have. Because the pure devotee's instruction is only meant for us to benefit by going back home, back to Godhead. We're all on that same path. Some of us are just beginning the path, some are halfway, some are closer and closer and closer to getting to the point. And we're getting closer and closer now to having Abhishek and being approached by Trinadapuri Prabhu. So we'll finish there. Thank you so much.